Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. We're asking you, at Key, J, and Max, who's the best team in the NFC? The Packers, the Cowboys, the Cardinals, or someone else? Packers leading with 46%, but Key, you think it's the Cowboys.
Yeah, I do. You know, look, man, I don't give a damn about no percentages and no votes, because half the people voting don't like the Cowboys anyway. They just... You know, people hate the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's either thumbs up or thumbs down. Every time.
I get it, but I just look at them and I say, I like the quarterback. I like the running game. I like the receivers. The offensive line is one of the best when they're healthy. The defense is coming along. Now, when they get DeMarcus Lawrence back, that'll be a plus. Diggs got back to Diggs again yesterday, leading the league. I think he got 9 interceptions on the season.
I think it's eight. Yeah.
Is it 8?
8.
The 8 interceptions on the season. Like, think about it, man. That's a touch. I mean, that's an interception a game, basically.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And so, I got a coach here who's been there, who's done it, who's won, who understands what the playoffs are about. They got a defensive coordinator who's been there, who's done it, who's won as a coordinator, took a team to a Super Bowl. I smell positivity from them this year. I really honestly do.
Plus, you got to think, Jay, sometimes take a step back. Like, sometimes if a baseball team makes a trade for a guy in the middle of his career and they pay him a lot of money, I'm thinking, damn, what he's done already, that money is a bet that this dude's going to make the Hall of Fame, right? So I look at Dak and take a step back and think, what kind of a career is this dude kind of, does it look like he's on his way to? It feels like there's a Super Bowl in there for that guy,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
I mean, I've been saying that about Dak since the beginning of the year, that I'm a fan of his, even as a Giants fan. I think sometimes, and I think this is really important for teams that have the ability to win a championship, how they bounce back after losing games speaks volumes about how that team continues to mature. So Dak Prescott potentially having the worst game statistically in his career versus the Broncos, coming back off that bye week, off that injury, to have the game he had yesterday with the way the defense played. The defense set the tone in this ball game as well. So I think that speaks about the maturity of that team. And I think that's what you kind of wondered about Dallas. Like, you know, are you going to start going down this path where you're very concerned for this team because they continue to let you down? But the way they stepped up yesterday, man, against a team that had a former MVP on that squad that has beaten some teams before, I think that speaks volumes about the Cowboys.
Atlanta's a good football team, though.
That's what I was about to ask, Keith.
They're serviceable.
They've been beating bad teams close. So I'm not saying they're awful.
They're serviceable.
But maybe they weren't quite as, like, they looked a little hotter than they were, in other words.
Yeah, but again, you go back to your record is what your record say you are. And they were a 6-7 seed type football team that got 43 points hung on them, and they only scored 3. And you know how hard it is for a quarterback to put up the type of numbers on a consistent basis. Dak Prescott was 24-31 for shy under 300 yards, 2 touchdowns in the air, and another touchdown on the ground. That's hard to do.
And that's kind of a typical
no matter who
Dak
you playing against, man, that's consistency. If I get that out my quarterback every single week and better, we're going to win a whole lot of games.
What you just said, when I think of, like, if someone said, yeah, give me a typical Dak performance, you know, in a win, that sounds like that to me. Sounds like I expect someone, like, you know how Key sometimes, Jay goes, he starts shaking his head and visualizing what the numbers are going to be. Mm-hmm. That's like 294 yards, 2 touchdowns in the air, 1 on the ground in a win. That sounds like Dak Prescott.
That is.
Yeah.
I call it a 1-yard plunge. And yeah. when you do that on a consistent basis, you're going to continue to stack up them wins, and you don't turn the ball over. You're going to win every single time. You're going to win games every single time, and the confidence and the momentum starts to continue to build, and that's what you get out of a team like this.
Here's Dak Prescott after the game on who the Cowboys are as a team.
Yeah, a resilient team, a team that's very aware of what we're capable of. And as I said, I don't want to say last week just wasn't us. And everybody in that locker room knows that. And it left a bad taste in our mouth. And I think it's a taste that we needed, as I said, to understand that how tough this game is. But tonight just showed that when we focus in, we take it one play at a time. When our heart and our minds are where our feet are, we're capable of doing some great things. And so we've just got to continue to focus on that.
See, that sounds like a quarterback to me that is still full of, we have so much to prove. Like, yeah, winning the NFC East, like nobody's talking about that. That's done. Nobody's talking about that. That's not what we're competing. We're competing to win the whole damn thing. And I think that sets the tone from up top, which is what real leadership is about.
Okay, let's talk about winning the whole damn thing. To me, the number one indicator, the number one advantage you can get is that there's one bye this year in each conference. One bye. To me, like, you don't have to play a full game and everyone else has to get a win against a playoff team. That's easily, if you had to guess now, what's the number one factor determining if you can get out of your conference? I would say who gets the bye. But how important will it be for this team in particular to get that bye, for this Cowboys team to get it?
It's big. It's huge. You not only do you get a chance to rest up people that may have some bumps and bruises, but you get a chance to advance scout your next opponent. You get a chance now to have a week off to really prepare to take on your opponent. The last time that they had this first-round bye, I believe, was 2016. Well, we all know how that went. It didn't work out so well for them. But I think when you look at where they're at right now, you get a home field advantage. You don't have to go to Green Bay. You don't have to worry about that cold, right? Then in Arizona, if you take care of business and they wind up losing one or two more games, you don't have to travel to the desert, even though that's a dome stadium, but you don't have to be on the road. And then what's the other team? The Los Angeles Rams. You don't have to go into L.A. and mess around with the Rams. They got to come to you. So, you know,
the Green Bay one is the convincing one.
You get three dome stadiums as of right now.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you're going to be in Green Bay.
That's the thing of the difference.
I don't want to be sitting there shivering in the second quarter as the sun starts to go down. Ooh. And Aaron Rodgers is slicing and dicing. No, I don't want to do that.
Jay,
do they get the bye, Key?
Do they think they could?
I'm asking you, like, you know, make one of your key pronunciations. Like, will they get the bye?
I don't know. Because teams like Philadelphia is as good as Jalen Hurts and that crew looked yesterday against the Denver Broncos. They still got to see them again. They can lose that game and put them in a bad spot.
At Chiefs.
At Kansas City this week coming up.
At Saints.
Yeah, I don't worry about the Saints right now.
Giants defense is coming along. It's not a gimme anymore. It's a divisional game.
At Washington.
Also the defense coming along.
It's going to be interesting down the stretch.
Look, put it this way.
I have no question about their offense.
Put it this way. They got the Cardinals. Put it this way, though. If they get the first round bye, they deserved it. 100%. They worked their tail off for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because
if
you look at the schedule, even though some of the teams that they play are not juggernauts, Philadelphia Eagles going to play the Cowboys well.
You got two games with them. You might easily lose one.
The Giants are going to play them well. And then they go to Arizona. Arizona opened up a can on them last year in Texas Stadium.
Look at the Washington defense against the Bucs yesterday. Washington's defense.
So you know that's going to have some implications there. In the way Washington feel right now, they don't feel like they out of it. They feel like they can still win their division.
Jay, what Key said about the Packers, about Lambeau, to me, that's the one where I go,
exactly.
Ding, 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 because you even like the Packers, as many do. And it's splitting hairs, but you go, you know what? Let me split the hair with Aaron Rodgers, right? Now you have to go on the road to face that cold? Oh,
man, it was already snowing, man. Where are we at?
November.
Dak already played Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs earlier in his career, and he played great. In fact, Cowboys should have won that game, except Aaron Rodgers got the ball last, made incredible plays, Packers won.
Exactly. I'm looking at the damn snow yesterday. I'm like, seriously? Really? Come on, man. It just started. We're in November. What's going on?
Cowboys, it's gangster coming up. They got to win that schedule. Don't go to Lambeau in the playoffs.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline, and ESPN football analyst, Napoleon Dynamite. No, it's Dan Orlovsky, but he's wearing something from the Napoleon Dynamite collection. Joins us in studio, giving the straight talk.
Get
brought
him,
to
Dan.
You by Straight Talk Wireless. Get no him. Contract, no compromise.
You got
good
referee
morning,
shoes on for boots.
Yeah,
right,
these
now.
Are boots. These are regular. You can come at me.
What is that, like rust?
I'm not going to give him a free
it's
shout
like
out.
Fall.
But
that's
these
like
are
autumn.
Official.
Yeah,
don't worry
that's
about
your jump shot.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's fly.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's not that I don't think it's fly. I'm just trying to figure out the color.
I don't know. Man, that's whatever my wife puts me in.
Well, I mean, hey, man.
I got Rose Bowl socks on.
See that?
Sitting and you never played in the Rose Bowl. You're wearing Rose Bowl socks.
No, I've commentated it, though.
Respect.
Good enough.
Respect. I love it. What a clapback.
Good enough.
You do have Rose Bowl socks on.
Yeah, man.
That's interesting.
I did the Wisconsin-Oregon game a couple years ago. Thanks for watching.
I was there.
Of course you were.
Me and Seth was hanging out on the sideline.
Man, I used to make so many plays here 25 years ago.
I thought there was two of you just then.
Not yet. Not yet. I'll show you when we are together on NFL Live. I'm going to show you some pictures of me being an alumno at USC. You'll be like, what the hell? Head to toe. Trojan stuff. I look like that guy, that 80-year-old dude.
I was going to say, you were at a Big Ten game? You were at a Wisconsin game?
Yeah, I went to Rose Bowl, Wisconsin, Oregon. Yeah.
Who won that game?
Oregon.
Herbert went nuts. Awesome.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
How likely is it, Dan Orlovsky, that Baker Mayfield, who you've said, I would say you've said more good things about than most in the media, right, will be the long-term quarterback in Cleveland?
I think it's still a great unknown. Coming off of yesterday afternoon, it obviously it doesn't seem promising. It's a rough week for the Baker supporters. Last week was a great week for the Baker supporters. I think it's still unknown, and that's why kind of yesterday's performance coupled with how the season has gone, added in with the injury, makes this, you know, a really difficult situation for Cleveland to be in. Baker did not play good yesterday. The Cleveland Browns were embarrassed yesterday as a football team, though. He is not the reason they lost. He wasn't a reason that it was a even relatively complete or competitive game.
Well, he's no Mac Jones, though.
Told you guys about Mac Jones 6 months ago.
Oh, man, stop.
Yeah, Baker is a guy that has moments where you go, that's what it looks like. That's we can win with this guy. And then he has moments you go, we got to find somebody else. And that's I think the difficult part for Cleveland is try to figure out who is he really or what can he be closer to. And I say the most discouraging thing about it is their roster is not going to get better than it is right now. You know, if they decide to pay him, you're not going to have two all-pro backs. You're not going to have three all-pro offensive linemen. You're not going to have three really good tight ends. So I think it's likely that they choose to move on rather than they give him a huge deal.
That's a great point to me. If you're going to pay your quarterback top of the market, then he's supposed to be able to lift you up where you're weak a little bit. And if you pay him that, you can't have the two all-pro running backs and three this and the offensive line and the whole thing, right?
The problem that you have with Baker Mayfield, so I'm never one to want to talk about somebody getting their money and they shouldn't get it. Yeah. Pay him whatever you want to pay him. That's on you.
Yeah, I hear you.
When you have a team like this, your quarterback needs to be a step above everybody else. That's the luxury of it. You can win championships with quarterback play like this, but your defense better be lights out, and you better be able to sustain something on the offensive side of the ball. They haven't been able to do it because now, all of a sudden, with no Chubb in the lineup, no Kareem Hunt in the lineup, they're asking him to do some other things that he's not capable of doing. Dan Orlovsky said they didn't lose the game, but because of him. Well, when you throw the interception and there's three people standing over there and you hand the ball to the other team, well, that is because of you. You're not seeing something clean. You're not whether it's injuries or whatever the case may be. Now, I agree with Dan. They probably are going to make a decision. They've already picked up the fifth-year option. They're probably going to look to make a decision because you could trade him next year. If something becomes available that's a little bit better, you could move on from him.
I was going to ask you, Dan, so you're Andrew Berry. Going into this offseason, let's say you continue to spiral in the wrong direction. What moves do you make?
I don't think you have to panic on roster spots. Like the talent on the defense, I think they got to figure out who's going to be their defensive coordinator. The defense is too talented to not show up. This is the number one pass rush unit in the league. Yesterday, they got to Mac Jones three times. So like the talent, and even Myles Garrett, I don't know if you guys heard his post-game comments, when he said, we just didn't make any adjustments. Like, we didn't make any adjustments when we got to the sidelines. No adjustments on the fly. We got to figure that out. That tells me that coaching is an issue. So, defensively, I don't think roster-wise you got to do anything. And I don't think anything offensively. You got to make a decision on who and what Baker Mayfield is. I would say definitively right now, there's no chance that you give Baker an extension. Now, he's already had his fifth-year option picked up. So, he's going to be their quarterback next year.
Are you going to trade him this offseason? Would you look to trade him?
Okay, then you got to find somebody that wants him for that value. Why are you not, after you picked up his fifth-year option, why are you not deciding to at least keep him and or pay him in the future?
So, they're stuck. So, you're telling me the Browns are stuck.
Aren't you know, Dan, there's always one fool.
Sure.
That thinks that he could
exactly.
Change him. I've always liked him at Oklahoma. I talked to Lincoln Riley, and Lincoln said, just do this with him.
Sure.
You know, it's always one.
The floor with Baker's not bad. You have a solid floor. The ceiling is limited, but if you can find a coach out there who thinks, oh, no, the ceiling's better than people realize.
Or this one here for you, Dan. Just throw it out there. There's a quarterback who could become available who team doesn't want to pay him long-term. But he is better than Baker in a lot of people's eyes, and they also can get some picks when you go to trade for that quarterback, and they know, oh, we can give him a long-term extension, and we'll give up a first-round pick to go get that quarterback, and you can have Baker Mayfield. You need to just take his salary.
Are you talking about a specific guy? Is it a guy in the north, or is it a guy in the south?
In the north.
Yeah. All right, so – yeah, I mean, yes. Then we're talking a different conversation.
Yeah.
You know, the systems would be transferable. It's the same type of system. I don't know because then they have a first round quarterback though. Are you talking about Aaron Rodgers?
No. Aaron North, meaning like Pacific Northwest, like that.
Oh, Russell. Oh yeah.
So now,
that's not even a question.
Yeah. Now you look at that and
you're Cleveland, you go, how do I figure that out?
How do you figure that out?
That's interesting because Seattle. Because you get draft capital with that if you're Seattle, if you think you're going to lose them anyway.
Or even
But then Seattle, you're also absolutely rolling the dice, you know? Like you're making a decision that could set you back for a decade if you do that.
But if a guy doesn't want to be there anyway,
sure.
And I got to move him.
Sure.
And a team, I got a trade partner that's willing to give me what I want, and I take on that, I may be able to reset and go back to what I did early on with him.
I'm not there with Baker yet, though. I'm not there yet. Like, I'm a Baker believer. I think the injury has to be a part of this conversation. I don't think he's the guy that is one of those handful, hey, everybody's hurt, I'll carry us type of players. I think he's a guy that you can win a lot of football games with. I'm not ready to go, the Browns have to give up on Baker Mayfield.
Right, it's just that if he digs in at 40-plus, then he wants to get...
That's on him.
By the way, it's a mistake that the Rams made with Goff, paid him at the top of the market. The Eagles made with Wentz, let's be honest. Like,
but if you giving him 40, I ain't taking 10.
Well, they did. He's looking at me sideways. And Wentz had more talent than Baker.
So think about it, though.
But Baker Mayfield's got to look at himself as Kirk Cousins, not Dak Prescott, not... Patrick Mahomes.
But are they willing to give me 33?
Take your 33.
Are you willing to give him 33?
No.
See, that's the question.
No.
So if you're not willing to give me 33, what make you think they're willing to give me 33?
No, for sure. Well, but again, I think having the conversation of Baker Mayfield an extension is there's no reason to do that if you're Cleveland.
Okay, so got him on the fifth year option.
Right.
And he plays on his fifth-year option, then he becomes a restricted free agent, right, or franchise tagger.
Right.
Now if I tag him, I'm paying him $50 million on the tag. So what am I going to do?
Because do you want to make do you want to be late to the party and have one overly expensive year? Or do you want to be early to the party and be trading away a guy just to get rid of his salary like the Eagles had to do and like the Rams had to do?
They'll work something out.
You got to learn from that.
They'll work something out with a number that sounds better than it is when you really look at it, you know, because nowadays to get to $100 million for a quarterback,
the contract doesn't even have Jimmy to be that Garoppolo. Long. You know, Jimmy, they're sitting there paying Jimmy and going, man, we don't really love him.
I want to get into someone who you really do love. And
Carson Wentz.
And even though Baker doesn't make you look great today, someone else does, and that is Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Mac Jones looks pretty, pretty good.
Like, good enough to have been the third pick in the draft.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, stop!
Wow. No.
Stop!
Here's what's crazy, Dan. He's taking steps, and with each step, he's, as Key says, he's playing sound and solid, safe, and sound.
Wait, hold on.
He made some throws yesterday, Max.
That's what I'm saying.
He's playing pretty damn
incredible. He's playing solid, safe, and sound. And now that he's done that,
they're peeling the skin off slowly.
But he is making some plays. Yeah. He is making some throws down the field.
Let me ask a question real quick. Patrick Mahomes was 35 of 50 last night for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. What did you think?
I thought he played good. I thought he made some crazy throws, but I thought he played okay.
Mac Jones played basically the same game. All he did, Mac Jones is doing exactly the same thing that Patrick did last night. Patrick was just getting the ball out completions. Mac's making perfect throws. I will say this.
Perfect key. That's what you talk about, handoffs. He's making some handoffs.
If and when Mac Jones plays like this on third down, this team in New England could beat anybody in the NFL. Can beat anyone.
You think it has a chance? I hear you, but you think it has a chance to happen as a rookie?
Yes, because when this team's at their best, when this offense is there at their that throw to Bourne was awesome. When this offense is at their best,
that's the one I'm thinking.
It's when Josh McDaniels has complete understanding and feel for who their offense is. That's when they're at their best. Yesterday, 6 guys had 3+ targets each. Ball distribution. Ball, no one had more than 5. 9 different dudes touched the ball. And you see, talk about screens, reverses, completions, Jacoby Myers.
So that's why I scream when you say worth the third pick. If New England had the third pick, yes. Going to San Francisco for him would have been a disaster. I understand your feelings for Kyle Shanahan.
And I understand yours.
Well, the numbers speak for themselves. That's all I'm saying. Is when you look at it, it's all about being, as Bill Parcells said when he was on our show, young quarterbacks, as you know, got to be in the right situation and circumstances so they can succeed. In New England, he's in the right situation to be successful and to succeed. If he was in Chicago or Jacksonville or San Francisco.
Right. It's the best situation
This is the best situation for them to get the young Tom Brady out of him until they continue to peel off
the
skins.
Max, 2 weeks ago I said this. I said, I think I was with you on live. I said, Mac Jones is the best quarterback that I've ever seen as a rookie to know what to do with the football, when to do it, and how to throw it.
I'll give you one.
Best I've ever seen.
Better than Herbert was with no protection.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Herbert, yeah. Dan, he had no protection. He was constantly under pressure. Yeah. He was making plays all over the field.
What Dan is saying is he understands the system already. Smart enough to drop back, hit his back foot, look at Dan, got to get off of him, good ear.
Right.
Oh, got to get in the ball, it's out where it's supposed to
be. Not the playmaker Herbert was last year or the crazy physical talent. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's the best rookie. I'm saying he's the best rookie when it comes to what do I have to do with the football, when should I do it, and how do I have to do it?
That's probably the number one or two talent that a quarterback can have, right?
I don't care how old you are.
Right.
It is the
leadership
number one
ability, and that is
100%.
Tom Brady has that's not as obvious as what Aaron Rodgers has.
Greatness for so many guys for such a long period of time.
Yeah, he made some throws, like the Bourne throw. But he made some throws that
we gonna fight on the Bourne throw. Be throwing that ball in there to me, even though I'm gonna go get it.
Quick yes or no question on this one.
Will Sam Darnold ever be a starting quarterback in the league again?
Not long term.
Mm. See, again, I think somebody gonna be like, we can fix that dude.
Yeah, but long term. They can fix him, but for how long? They're going to waste the season on him? Yeah.
He might be a Teddy Bridgewater type of player.
Placeholder.
Yeah, but I don't – and then I love Sam, but I think
Bridgewater
year,
had a lot of NFL success.
Especially then you watch what happens yesterday, and McCaffrey was back, and the defense was great, but P.J. Walker went out and played good, and then Cam comes in and makes a couple plays. So I don't see that out of Sam.
Bridgewater had a lot of success before he got hurt, before he lost his job.
Is there still quarterback controversy
Darnold
for the Jets? You know, is that still going on in New York?
He turned into a pumpkin quick, huh?
Is there a quarterback controversy? Stop.
All right. Thank you, Dan, as always.
Good luck with Keyshawn for the rest of the day, guys.
Thanks, coming up next, we got key observations, including a business decision by one quarterback. Oh, know what that means? Know what that music means here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max? It's time for some key observations brought to you by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Key, what you got?
Number one.
Little observations here. Number one observation for me is the New England Patriots are going to win the AFC East. I think when you look at what they're capable of doing, who this head coach is, who his coordinators and assistants are, and the way that the New England Patriots are playing on the defensive side of the ball, as well Mac Jones on the offensive side of the ball, continuing to pull the layers off on Mac Jones, allowing him to push the ball down the field beyond 10 yards is going to play big, big significance and dividends for them as time goes on. The Buffalo Bills are slowly but surely holding on to this lead.
Number two,
the Bridgewater business decision is not a big deal. I know a lot of people want to look at it and say, well, what you mean by that? Well, you know, on the turnover, he kind of like decided not to make the tackle.
Important.
He was just like, I'm just going to stand around and watch it. Not a big deal. He's my starting quarterback. I don't want him getting out there getting injured.
What's Bridgewater, 200 pounds soaking wet?
All quarterbacks do that, man. That's nothing new.
Number three.
And again, number three, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win the AFC West. Patrick Mahomes and company. Now, as I said a couple weeks ago, the AFC West is coming back to them. The Chargers, you see them lose to the Minnesota Vikings. They beat the Raiders, Kansas City, head-to-head. We watched the Denver Broncos get run out of the building. This team is going to eventually – oh, Tyreek Hill on that shake route. This team is eventually going to hit his stride and be a dangerous out in the AFC come the playoffs.
Number four.
The Chargers are going to charge as always. This is who they are. They start off having you feel a certain way about them. They did it with Coach Anthony Lynn. They made us all believe that, oh, my God, this team is going to be great. Bosa, oh, they got this. They got receivers. They got Justin Herbert. They can run the football with Austin Eckler. What a great Brandon Staley on the defensive side of the ball. Now they lose to Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings at home 27-20. When they had an opportunity to take the division and run away with it.
They had to win that game.
Had to win it.
Number five.
Five is the biggest one of all for me. The New Orleans Saints had a guy that was sitting out there willing to play football in Cam Newton. You knew him. You played against him for 9 seasons within your conference and division, and you let a team in the division get him, his old team, the Carolina Panthers, because you felt that you had something in Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill when clearly Cam Newton had you signed him maybe 3-4 weeks ago prior to as soon as Jameis got injured, you'd be in a different situation right now. You are on the brink of missing the playoffs. Oh,
that's wild. It's wild.
The Carolina Panthers, if the season ended today, they got the 7th seed.
Trevor Siemian's one of those dudes just good enough to be dangerous to the club. You know, just good enough to be dangerous to be the franchise.
He's a two-game starter because my starting quarterback nail chipped off and he can't throw the ball for two games.
That's what I mean. And then the problem is he'll play just well enough where they squint and they go, you know what? Maybe we're seeing something everyone else missed.
Not at all. I think the biggest indictment for me in terms of missing things is missing on Cam Newton this season when you had a chance to sign a guy who could have helped your club 4 weeks ago.
Knows the division.
You know him. And just, you know, I'm shocked that Sean Payton didn't really kick that tire the way it needed to be.
The only one I would say that I pay attention to yesterday was the Lions-Steelers game where it actually tied. But just Najee Harris, the sound of him saying, I didn't know you can tie in the NFL. I just thought that was interesting. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I didn't.
Every year there's a dude who doesn't know that.
It's not a big thing. It's kind of like funny. You know what I mean? Like a lot of novices know that.
No, it is a big thing.
You want to hear Najee talking about it?
Absolutely.
Listen, Najee Harris talking about the tie.
I didn't know you could even tie in the NFL. I was sitting on the bench ready, saying to myself, I got another quarter to go. But I guess somebody came to me and said, that's it. And so I ain't never had a tie in my life before.
I feel like every year there's one dude who didn't know that.
But he's a rookie.
Yeah.
Coming from Alabama where, you know, I don't know how many overtime games Alabama has actually been in. But,
yeah, exactly.
You know, you got to think college football, they go overtime, you score, he score, you score, you know, it's just
Yeah, you hear eight overtimes doesn't mean
nine
eight overtimes.
When you were in college, did you watch NFL games? Did you have NFL? Because I watched a ton of NBA games when I was in college.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I knew everything about all the league rules, and you know, I knew how different it was in the college game. I know it's different structure, different folks, but I paid attention to that.
Yeah, see, I didn't know all the rules of the NFL when I was in college. I knew that there was an overtime that I did know, but I didn't know all the different rules about what happens in the overtime. But coming straight from college, Najee probably just, you know, figured it was, oh, okay.
Guys, there are 3,000 players in the NFL, give or take, right? Give or take.
How many do you think?
No, I'm just saying they're going in any population of 3,000 people, you're going to have people who do things differently, who pay attention. There's always going to be a handful of guys who don't know rules that the rest of us who watch a lot of TV think are obvious, right?
No, it's not. Coming from college, though, it's not obvious, and he's a different, as they like to say, a different bird. Najee is from Antioch, California, in Northern California, Sacramento area. He's just a different dude, man. He just all the way different. So I'm not surprised that he wouldn't know. Even though he watches football and he plays football, he ain't going to be dialed into the details like that.
See
he's
what
just not
Pat,
who he
our
is.
Producer today, has to say about what the NFL needs to do? Adopt college overtime rules. By the way, I don't hate that. College overtimes are exciting, boy. Ooh, it's back and forth.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Just score when you get the damn ball.
Whether the Packers showed that they're the best team in the NFC.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Former Packers defensive back Leroy Butler joins us via the Goodyear hotline to talk about Aaron Rodgers returning in a win yesterday, brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven, and good morning, Leroy.
Good morning. Good morning.
What's up, Leroy?
Thanks for jumping in.
What's going on, Key? J, what's up?
What's happening, man? I'm surprised you – I'm glad you up, but I'm surprised, man, after – I thought you'd be.
What were you surprised by?
Well, because I just thought maybe you'd be relaxing.
Man, just,
you know? I thought
man,
you'd
I
be relaxing.
I got a 10-year-old, cuz. I take my son to school every morning. I'd be up 5:30.
Preach, baby. Yeah, what? when you had the opportunity, obviously, of watching Aaron Rodgers play yesterday, and after the game, mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers said that he was emotional after the win yesterday. What did you make of that?
Mm-hmm. I was very excited because I think a lot of people didn't know how he was going to respond to it. But I think sometimes as athletes, we all get this, that we think we play forever. And sometimes we think we can do what we want. I mean, people pay for our foods. Well, they pay for, you know, quarterbacks, not me, you know, defensive back. But I think sometimes for these 10 days, you get away from football, you say, you know what? I'm Aaron Rodgers. I affect a lot of people. And I appreciate the fact he said he misled people. And sometimes that's emotional. Because the people in Green Bay, y'all got to understand something. We don't have an owner. Those people in the stands are your owners. And I think he had a moment to say, you know what? Win, lose, or draw, these people got my back, and I have theirs. So it can be emotional. I appreciate that.
Leroy, what are your thoughts on the Packers' defense? I mean, they've gotten better and better throughout the course of the year. And you know what this offense can be with that ceiling. But what are your thoughts on their defense initially?
Well, I think if you think about the last, I'd say 4 years, maybe even five, maybe a decade. You say the reason why they haven't won a Super Bowl is because the defense hasn't played up to that level. As of late, the defense is top five defense. But I will say this, guys, there was some controversy when Matt LaFleur hired Joe Barry, especially in the barbershop. It's like, who is this guy? When he was a defensive coordinator, they're the worst in the league. Why didn't they give it to Jerry Gray? I mean, it should have gave it to somebody else. But Matt LaFleur would say, I like the system. And the system is plug and play. Now, they had Rashad Gary go out and Merciless go out. I mean, Jair Alexander is gone, but they just plug in guys. And the system is so good, you can put guys in. If you do your job, don't try to be the hero. Just do your job. Eventually, we'll get this. We'll get some turnovers, some sacks. And I mean, we all agree that Russell Wilson was rusty. We get that part. But just don't give up plays. Make people earn it down, you know, make them
go all the way down and play good defense in the red zone. Now, earlier, they're the worst defense, giving up a touchdown every time somebody get inside the 25. They stopped that streak. So now these guys are flying around. That's the reason why they're winning.
Talking to former Packers defensive back Leroy Butler here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Where do you think Aaron Rodgers, from where you're sitting, what does it look like his future with the Pats? Like, where do you think all that is right now?
Well, the future is Jordan Love. I mean, we can't get away from that. I mean, they drafted this young man. That's why I really wanted him to perform well last week against Kansas City. But they drafted him as they did Aaron Rodgers a few years back when we had Brett Favre. And he's the future. I mean, this is an isolated year. They're going to try to go all in to win the Super Bowl. That's why they were in OBJ. I mean, they didn't get him, but they were like, fine. We're still, 7-2 without him. And finna be 8-2, by the way. But the future has to be number 10. I mean, it really is. And I think next year they'll try to get Aaron Rodgers in there. They'll sit down. Where do you want to go? And they'll try to trade him and see if it works out. I think this is the one year they have to move on and say, when do we think about the future? We don't want to be like the Saints. We don't want to be like the Washington football team. We don't want to be like some of these other franchises that don't have a quarterback, that never drafted a quarterback, Atlanta Falcons. We don't want to be like that. We want to be good now and in the future, not to enjoy the love clock starts next year.
Leroy Butler, former Packer, Super Bowl champion, four-time Pro Bowler, and four-time All-Pro, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. But I want you to make an argument for the Green Bay Packers as the best team in the NFC over the Cowboys, the Cardinals, and the Los Angeles Rams. Can you make that argument?
Oh, no question. I think the only thing that's holding them back is special teams, because Mason Crosby has missed quite a few field goals. And I will say this, the Green Bay Packers aren't flashy. I mean, they're a Midwest team that just goes to work. I mean, I don't think they've scored 30 points but once or twice. Some of these other teams put up big numbers, but they have these deficiencies every now and then, like Dallas. You know, you get beat by Denver, now you beat a bad team, and now you beat your chest. I mean, so the Green Bay Packers are kind of can be the same way. They beat the Washington football team. They beat Detroit Lions. I mean, they struggle with a bad Kansas City team, but they win the games they're supposed to win. And I think that's the biggest thing. Case in point, Tampa Bay, you go to the Washington football team, you get beat by 10. The Packers haven't had those games back-to-back yet. So on the surface of it, it looked like they're better than the Rams to me. Maybe I'm biased. If Aaron Rodgers can just not turn the ball over, I know he had a pick yesterday, but if he can not turn the ball over, if Aaron Jones is not injured, they got one of the best running games. So the only thing that'll bring the Green Bay Packers down, guys, is injuries. And I think that would bring most people down. But other than that, they're going to be one of the best teams, probably the entire league, to be honest.
That's Leroy Butler, ladies and gentlemen. You heard the accolades from Key, four-time first-team All-Pro, et cetera. How about 1990s All-Decade team? Thank you, Leroy, for jumping on with us this morning.
All right, Leroy.
Anytime. I appreciate it, guys. I love y'all's show. Thank you.
Appreciate it, brother.
Mike White might be black and blue after a brutal day yesterday. We'll tell you what it means for the Jets next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.